Welcome to the clan! This is a show dedicated to helping singers, songwriters, and indie artists like you create leverage in the music business. This podcast exists because we want you to win. And you're going to need leverage to win in today's music business. The days of the record labels signing you and the publishing company signing you without having some business behind you are over. You really need to have a reputation. You need to have some business going on. And that is what's going to get you into the inner circle. What is leverage? It's a strategic advantage. It's the power to act effectively. That's why we called it the CLIMB, C-L-I-M-B. It's an acronym, Creating Leverage in the Music Business, which is brilliant. That was written by my good friend and lyricist, Mr. Brent Baxter. He's also my co-host. He's an award-winning hit songwriter with cuts by Alan Jackson, Randy Travis, Lady Antebellum, Joe Nichols, and more. And what I love about Brent is he helps you, artists and songwriters like you, turn pro by revealing how you write like a pro, how to do business like a pro. And not only that, just about every week, he's connecting you with the pros. You can find Brent super easy at songwritingpro.com. Once again, that's songwritingpro.com.
And I would like to introduce you to my co-host, Johnny Dwinnell. Johnny owns Daredevil Production. They help you find your sound, and they help you grow your audience so you can become the artist that everybody loves, so you can get paid in the process. Daredevil has worked with multi-platinum artists like Colin Ray, Tracy Lawrence, Ty Herndon, and Andy Griggs, just to name a few. You can find Johnny at daredevilproduction.com. That's production, singular, no S, and there is no S because there is no other Johnny D.
What's happening, brother?
Man, I'm excited because I've been talking a lot, and now I don't have to. I need to listen to you.
Once again, we're in the same room together. I like this. Yeah. I don't ever want to stop. Don't ever leave me. Today, just to drop a little bomb right here, and then we'll take care of some business. We're going to talk about the power of social proof. We talk about that. We mentioned that a lot on previous podcasts.
Yes.
And I want to really dig into what social proof is, because this is one of the most powerful tools of influence that you're going to use to expand your audience and to market your music as an artist and to market yourself as a songwriter.
Oh, yeah.
And we're going to talk about how that all that connects and the things that change so that you're thinking about it the right way. But before we get into that,
yes,
we want to talk about number one, if you haven't joined the CLIMB community, please do so. Go to Facebook, search the CLIMB community, ask to be let in. We will let you in. We let everybody in. But if you're obnoxious, you'll be roadhoused.
Yes.
And we have developed the rules for that, so be careful.
Yes.
The second thing is you want to share this. If this podcast information is helpful to you, if you're binge listening to this, man, turn some other people on to it. A bunch of you are, and we want to spread the love, help us spread the gospel. Take 30 seconds, leave a rating or review on iTunes. It makes us look legit to the people who are thinking about diving in.
Yeah.
And they want to know that it's legit.
Social proof.
That's the social proof. There you go. All these people like it, then it must be
good. I'm going to check it out.
That's right. And finally, the CLIMB conference, right? We're getting close here to
scarily close.
Very close, like it's next
yes,
week.
It is like, yeah, and it's this week.
It's this week.
It's this week. Yes, it is. We're about to hop on a plane in a day or two. And
well, if you haven't got your ticket, there's still time, as if it's not sold out.
Right.
I know we're about 75% of the way full, I think.
I think we're getting there, yeah.
But this is the climbconference.com is where you can get more information on this. But it's Brent, it's myself, it's Chris Oglesby, he's a hit publisher from BMG.
Mm-hmm.
And Shelby Kennedy, who's the president of TuneCore. So if you got questions on what the new music business looks like in the digital world, boy, Shelby's going to have all those answers.
Yeah.
If you got questions on how publishing works and different ways that you can get in and create relationships and have some time to spend with the man and show him what you got going on and get some good feedback from a pro on your, like the pro of pros, like Hall of Fame publisher guy.
Yeah, he's really good.
Like, goodness sakes, like, there's your chance to do that. Brent, hit songwriter, is going to be there, and we're making miracles happen here with marketing in the digital world. So I think all your answers can be handled right there, right?
Yeah, that's right. So you find out more and reserve your spot at theclimbconference.com. Theclimbconference.com. So check it out.
That's right. Oh, and don't forget to subscribe to
the podcast.
So then it automatically just... Every Tuesday, the major episode goes into your phone, and every Friday, the little mini-sodes happen. We've got the expand your brand for marketing, which is a little 5-10 minute blurb on with some value bombs, just blah, 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 blah.
Yep.
And then the song title challenge every other week.
Pound for pound, they are strong.
That's right. Pound for pound, you're not going to find a better way to spend that 10 minutes of your life.
Exactly. All right.
So
what do you got today?
Man, the power of social proof. This is something that you all are familiar with, that you all do on a regular basis, and that you've all been influenced by on a regular basis. And I want to dissect it a little bit today, because this is how you sell records. This is how you sell tickets. This is how you sell merch. This is how you expand your audience. This is how you get people to fall in love with you as an artist. This is what turns a really great songwriter with 500 songs in a can into a hit songwriter, and
right.
all those songs become worth money.
Yep.
It's social proof, okay? And understanding this from a marketing perspective is the difference between understanding the what just vomit content is on your feeds and what you should be doing to try to communicate to people. Like, we talk a lot about how to put images in a song and how to tell that story to move somebody and do that. Well, you have to do that with your marketing too. Everybody's always unsure of what to put in there. This is going to give you a bunch of ideas. So,
cool.
Man, I've been...
Help us out, Johnny.
I'm about halfway through this book that I'm going to recommend that everybody purchase. It's called Influence, the Psychology of Persuasion by Robert Cialdini. That's spelled C-I-A-L-D-I-N-I. Influence, the Psychology of Persuasion. I think I picked up my book for like $6 or something like that.
I have it on my wish list on Amazon. I haven't gotten it yet, but
it's on
my list.
I got a used copy, man. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it was in good condition, and I didn't buy it brand new, but wow.
Who cares? The information is still brand new.
It's blowing,
you, yeah.
blowing my mind. So, social proof states that, quote, one means we use as a society, as a species, to determine what is correct is to find out what other people think is correct.
Okay? Or cool.
Or cool, yeah.
Or popular.
Or popular, that's right.
Right.
So, now that's a really sort of hoity-toity way to spell that out.
Right.
Seth Godin took that and boiled it down to 7 words.
He's good at this.
People like us buy products like that.
Mm-hmm.
Or how about people like us, like artists like that?
Mm-hmm. People like us go to shows like that.
Exactly. Exactly. And so we're going to take a lot of cues from the environment and from what's happening around us. And the psychology that comes with that, when you learn about that and you understand about that, can change your world. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And so we're going to dig into some of that today. think about... Let's take Nirvana's record, Nevermind, big record. I think it sold 10 million copies. Let's just say it's
very cool. Ironically named. We all minded.
Hey, that's right.
We all paid attention. We all gave us
that's
a mind.
Right, genius.
Nothing to see here.
Like that.
Oh, yeah,
but let's say that record sold 10 million copies, just to make the numbers good so I don't have to do a lot of math in my head.
Right.
What social proof does, and what the phrase people like us, like bands like Nirvana, means, is that the first 400,000 records that was sold of Nirvana were by people that really genuinely love Nirvana.
Mm-hmm.
And the other 9.6 million were by people who just bought it because a friend had it. And they associated with that group.
Mm-hmm.
That's social proof, right? If you think about, I tell this story a lot to my artists when they come in, when I'm trying to explain like some of the stuff that we do, and I'm explaining different ways to sort of conceptualize social proof. How about if you drive into Compton or any ghetto in any big city at midnight on any given night, you'll inevitably find an 8-year-old kid in the corner selling crack, who is wearing $300 Michael Jordan shoes. Think about that for a second. Now, first of all, he makes like God knows how much money every night selling crack in a ghetto, okay? He can afford to buy whatever shoes he wants to buy. Why'd he spend $300 on those? The answer is not because he could. Why'd he choose Michael Jordan shoes, right?
Mm-hmm.
He's 8. He was born in 2010, which is, I think if my math is right, 17 years after Michael Jordan retired.
Right.
He's never probably seen a video of Michael Jordan playing basketball. Michael Jordan doesn't mean as much to him as it means to me. I've seen Michael Jordan play live. You know, wow. like yeah. that it, it's you know, like watching freaking flying circus. You know,
yeah.
why? It's because everybody else mm-hmm. is wearing them. Mm-hmm. So it's relevant to him, right? You know, this principle applies to the way that we decide what constitute correct behavior or popular behavior when we want to belong, or cool behavior when we want to perceive ourselves as cool, or pretty when we want to perceive ourselves as pretty. What dress to wear? What makeup do we use? What mm-hmm. You know? What nail polish? Right? We view a behavior. As in the behavior of purchasing a ticket to see your band, as in the behavior of purchasing your CD, or as a behavior of going to Spotify to stream you. Mm-hmm. We view a behavior as more correct in a given situation to the degree that we see others performing it. So real applications for indie artists and how this kind of shakes out. Take Bailey James, for instance, right? Mm-hmm. She's up to 65,000 on her Instagram followers on her Instagram now. But there was a moment in October, she was at like 50,000, mm-hmm. and she was engaged. Like they were really engaged on the post. Mm-hmm. I think average post every post she put up got an average of 1,200 to 1,500 likes, whew. And maybe like 50 to 75 comments.
Nice.
And then seemingly overnight. We gained like another couple thousand followers because uh-huh. it starts to snowball a little bit the yeah. bigger you get. But seemingly overnight, everything doubled. It just went to 3,000 likes or 4,000 likes per post, 4,000 to 5,000 views if it was a video, and like 150 likes per comment.
So you had
comments per post, excuse me.
So you had like a 5% say growth in the followers, but you have
not even that, like
50% growth in, or 100%.
Yeah, like we went from 50,000 followers to maybe 52 or 53,000.
So small,
little growth, but doubled that.
So 100% growth though in engagement.
Exactly, and why? Because it's all of a sudden became cool to interact with her. It was there was enough people doing it. There was a big enough number that it. Now that's a ship you can get behind. That's a that's an artist that you can get behind and be cool, right? think about this in terms of like a live show, okay? Because this is really like you talk about like a mob mentality. Let's talk about a mob mentality in a
positive
way, right. And we can actually talk about both ways with the example I'm about to give, which is Guns N' Roses and Axl Rose.
Yeah.
Okay. So there was a big issue back before Guns N' Roses broke up, initially back in the early 90s, because Axl was so out of his frickin' mind that he would just literally keep the crowd waiting for hours and they would start to tear apart the stadium.
Yeah.
And as soon as you see one person start to rip something up, everybody starts to do it. Why? Because we see that other behavior. Uh-huh. We're all feeling the same way. And then we start to tear stuff up. And
nothing's happened to him yet.
Yeah.
Go.
The insurance was crazy, and it just, the money that they spent on that was insane because they had to pay for that. But let's do it on a positive way. And this is, you know, insert your favorite front person or your favorite artist here. But you go to see, you pay good money, you go see an artist, and they want you to sing along, and you sing along. They want you to clap, and you clap. They tell you to get your cell phone up in the air, you get your cell phone up in the air. And this is social proof because we see everybody else doing it. And whether we like it or not, we're very much influenced to do that. Now, maybe you're the outlier. Maybe you're somebody that's like always on the fringe and you never do what the crowd does.
Right.
But you need to be aware that you're like in the 2% of,
right.
of humanity.
Right, yeah.
So don't leave money on the table because you wouldn't do that.
Right.
And, you know, if you want to make a living at this, right? I mean, there's a small percentage of people that will, you know, clap when the artist is clapped because the artist told them to, and they want to do it, and they're there. But there's a huge percentage of people that are doing it because everybody else is doing it.
This isn't quite the Guns N' Roses example, but sometimes in church, you know, you'll be singing a song and they don't have you standing up, but then somebody stands up, and then somebody else stands up singing.
Yep.
And then pretty soon you're like, oh, here it comes. I don't really want to stand. I'm not really feeling it. But now, do I look bad if I'm not standing up?
Yeah.
Which is exactly the conversation I'm not supposed to be having in church in my head, which I got to talk to Jesus about that. But then you're going, don't stand up. Oh, people in front of me stood. People behind me. Now I'm sitting here. Now I'm looking like I don't love Jesus.
Jesus is going to hate me.
I got to. All right, here we go. I'm standing up.
Now you're standing up. That's it.
Yeah,
right?
That's totally it, man.
And it can go both ways. I mean, looting behavior you see on TV with political rallies or whatever, or when there's some kind of huge hurricane or something like that. How about something more subtle? How about if you've ever been in a foreign situation where you weren't sure what to do, right?
Yeah, been in one of those.
Sometimes you're not sure where the garbage can is, and you're like trying to find out. What do you do with your empty popcorn box at a movie theater? You just follow a crowd, and then, oh, there it is.
Yeah.
Right? Or if you've been in a fancy dinner that's a little bit above your pay grade, maybe, and you're like, which fork do I use?
You get a little
wound up, and then you just sort of watch what everybody else does. I think of the scene
from... Yeah, you just watch them going, which fork they going for, yeah.
Exactly. I think of the scene from the dinner scene in Pretty Woman, which is one of my favorite movies. I'm not afraid to admit that I'm strong enough in my masculinity. I love that movie. But there's a scene where she's at the dinner and there's a certain appetizer that they've served, and she's not sure how to eat it. And she's trying as hard as she can. So here she's a hooker in the movie, and she's like in this really high end dinner, and she's not sure what to do. And the guy across the table just sort of winks at her and grabs it with his fingers and eats it. And she's like, "Oh, okay, cool. So I can do that." But there it is, right? This is social proof. You know, as a rule, as a human rule here, we'll make fewer mistakes by acting in accord with social evidence than acting contrary to it.
Yeah, most of the time the popcorn's going to end up in the correct trash can if you follow the people out of the theater. Trash can, oh, okay. Then if you go, no, I'm going to do something different, it's going in the high chair.
Right. So when a lot of people are doing something, it's usually the right thing to do. Usually. Mm-hmm. So put this in terms of how can you use this for your marketing? How can you show a lot of people on board, on the train of whatever your artist name is or whatever your band name is, right? How can you make that happen? What if you're a songwriter and you're having a pitch meeting with the publisher and you know that you've got holds maybe that publisher isn't aware of? You should make them aware of it.
Yes,
right?
You should.
Like, by the way, these three other publishing companies got holds on it, or these three artists got holds on it. Or I've gotten cut. Maybe you don't have any holds like inside the industry, but you're an outside artist or an outside songwriter that has cuts with a couple different artists that are local to you.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's something, right? A couple different artists that are just nondescript to this guy, but hey, they cut my song, And so, wow, okay, all right, now that's different. Now all of a sudden you go into a different pile.
You do.
And it becomes a more of a club like that. There's things that you can do. I'll give you an example of this. Exit polls, political exit polls on national TV, right? So, and this isn't a political statement. It's just this happens. It doesn't matter. Put your network on there. Yeah, this isn't a political. But, you come out, the unknowing person walks out of the poll booth, and there's the Live at 5 reporter, "Hi, sir, do you hate black people, or did you vote for Obama?" And the person immediately says, "I don't hate black people."
No.
It's like, another vote for Obama. And you know what I mean? And so they're trying to sway the political opinion with that, right?
Yeah.
And it happens just the same on the other side. So it happens on both sides of the aisle.
Because, I remember on election nights, you're like, don't listen to the exit polls. These are very early because they'll start doing exit polling before the polls close.
Especially in West Coast,
East Coast, West Coast.
Yeah,
and they're like, and so people are, if they're on the losing end of the early exit polls, trying to rally their people in California, going, "Don't worry about the exit polls. Get out to vote." Because a lot of people go, "Oh, we've already lost."
Yep.
Or some people may go, "Oh, well, good, we're winning. I don't need to go."
Which is the design of that whole thing. Yeah.
It's because it's not that it's news yet. If they really didn't want to affect it, They wouldn't be going out talking to people. I mean, it's an effect.
So one way that we applied this to a real-world marketing situation, we did it with Bailey James. First of all, she's got a web store, and we did this 2 years ago. I made the argument to the team, and I've made it several times, that the only reason we went from records to CDs and from CDs to MP3s, which is like a steady decline in the quality. Sonic quality, was because we were told to. Mm-hmm. Right? And in the industry, everybody laments, like, oh, it's just so sad. Nobody knows the difference. And so why do we even bother recording in HD? Because they don't know the difference. Mm-hmm. They're only going to listen to it on MP3. Blah, blah, blah. And my argument is, yeah, they don't know the difference. Yeah. So we just have to add the value into the difference, and then we can change the price of music if we want to, right? Yeah. So I put my money where my mouth was. Mm-hmm. And on Bailey's website, which is baileyjamescountry.com, you can check it out, you can see she has the normal 99-cent MP3 downloads, mm-hmm. as you would expect, right? But if I, when I say these two letters to you, Brent, tell me exactly what it means to you, HD.
High def.
Right, what does it mean to you?
High definition.
What do you know about HD?
Supposed to be higher quality.
Right.
So whatever, you know, I think of movies, HD movies or TV shows. So it's a lot more...
So it's better.
Yeah, a lot more crisp, clear picture, a lot more distinct.
And if you what else do you know about HD in terms of price?
Oh, it's usually more expensive.
Cost more, yeah. Right? Knowing that as a community, there's already a visual and an expectation of HD for price and an expectation, mm-hmm. internal expectation for HD on quality.
Right.
And that most people can't get a hold of WAV files. Like, we're not buying a whole lot of CDs anymore. Most people are going to stream. We put up HD downloads on her website, and they were more expensive. They were, instead of 99 cents, they were $1.49. And they were WAV files, so they're better than MP3 files. So this wasn't like any kind of tomfoolery or smoke and mirrors. It was a better file, and we're going to charge more money for it. Mm-hmm. But then how did you get them to care about it?
Right, because I'm like, I'm used to that for movies, so I don't even know what that means for sonically, because I'm thinking I'm already hearing the whole song.
Yeah, and by the way, if I can get the same song for 99 cents rather than $1.49, why wouldn't I take the cheaper version, right? So this is where we incorporated a social proof thing. We made a video, and we had the artist, you know, send out a video, like, hey, y'all, it's Bailey. Like, listen, there's a lot of talk about high quality streaming, and she mentions Jay-Z, you know, has Tidal, and it's all super high quality streaming, and Spotify says you get a better quality stream if you pay for it than the free version, and HD radio says they're better than XM Series satellite radio because they stream higher quality audio. Mm-hmm. And then she puts her stamp of approval on it, and she says, now, I gotta tell you, I've been in the studio enough to hear the difference. Mm-hmm. And she tells them what to hear. Now, if you crank it up really loud, you can hear the smoother highs and the bigger lows on an HD track versus an MP3 track. And then she puts it on them, and which is the, you know, this is all scripted, right? It's all intentional. And she says, look, but it doesn't matter what Jay-Z thinks or what Spotify thinks or even what I think. Mm-hmm. It just matters what you think. Now, pause right there for a second. This video went out to her email list. Mm-hmm. Everybody that was on her email list got on it because they received an MP3 download of her single. Mm-hmm. Okay. So the title on this email was, I have another gift for you. Mm-hmm. And it got an 80% open rate, by the way.
Okay? Nice.
And so she says, so I've attached to this email an HD version of the same song that you already have. This is before we released the EP, by the way. Mm-hmm. Okay, so the single's out. We're trying to warm it up. So I've attached an HD version of the same song that you already have. The only thing I'm asking you to do, it's just whenever you get a minute, like wherever you listen to your music, listen to the two tracks back to back and crank it up and tell me which one you think is better.
Yeah.
And then hit me up on social media and let me know. So there's tons of kids like, HD's way better, HD's way better, HD's way better. Moral of the story is, when we released that EP, 80% of the sales of music that was on her website was HD.
Wow.
We could manipulate the buying decision based on social proof because everybody else was doing it.
Yeah.
Right? So this is the kind of stuff that you need to be thinking about.
And of course, the benefit for y'all was sales at a higher price. You already have the WAV files. You just made them available.
That's right.
So that was the benefit. We're going, we just made a lot more bank off this than we would have if we just sold the MP3 at a lower price.
Here's how powerful this is. It's probably not one person listening to this podcast hasn't at one point or another listened to watch a sitcom and the laugh track on a sitcom. Yes. So we all know it's fake. Mm-hmm. And we all know, and the artists know, whoever the actors are and the writers know that it's fake. And trust me, they hate it. There's been many contract dispute over when the sitcom airs, is there going to be laugh tracks or is there not going to be laugh tracks? There's nobody that creates the show that wants the laugh track, I can promise you. But the network demands that you put it in for one reason and one reason only. It works. When they start surveying people who watch the show, they're like 40% more likely to say that it's funny. Even, by the way, even if it's poor quality.
It's not really funny.
Even if it's not really funny, they feel like it's funnier because of the laugh track. And so, you know, Cialdini says, our folly is not that, and this is specifically to laugh tracks, our folly is not that we use others' laughter to decide what is humorous and when mirth is appropriate. That's in keeping with the well-founded principle of social proof. Like, of course we're going to think it's funny because everybody else think it's funny. The folly is that we do it in response to something that's patently fraudulent.
And notice, it's obviously not real laughter.
Right.
But we fall for it anyway.
We fall for it anyway.
Okay.
Right?
So that we use laughter.
It's
that we
that
use
is.
Fake, canned laughter that we know is not true.
Yes. So the... Think about bartenders. If you're a smart bartender, what's the first thing you do before you start your shift with the tip jar?
Put some money in it.
Put some money in it. Somebody already put some money in it. Like, you're not the first. Go ahead.
Right. This is where the money goes. I'm showing you where the money goes.
You're going to get a higher, more people
and
are going to tip you.
Put a 10 in there.
Because of that. Right. Yeah. How about, you mentioned church before. How about church, ushers, like, before they pass around the collection plate, they're going to put some money in there.
I wouldn't know because I'm not on the front row. People in the front row are the only people who know that. I'm a back row Baptist.
You're a back row Baptist.
Yeah.
So when advertisers use terms like the fastest growing and the largest selling, and if you've ever seen like a detergent brand where they have like ordinary people that are telling you how well that product worked for them.
Yeah.
Two things happen. Number one, it's social proof. And you start to see, and you relate to that person because they're just like me, right? We were talking about this before the show, but in this book, he talks about an experiment that was done by Robert O'Connor with preschool children. Specifically, preschool children who were very shut down emotionally and who would not engage emotionally and interact with the other kids in the class. And they tried all different kinds of ways to get these kids out of their shell and get them out of the corner where they're just inside their own head and they're not playing with the other kids. And that could become a seriously bad habit and really hurt their lives at that stage of the game, right? This is a mission critical moment.
Yeah.
Okay. So... what they found that was astoundingly beneficial was a 23-minute film showing these isolated children, other isolated children, like playing with their classmates, where they have all the class over here and this isolated kid over here, and then the kid walks over and starts to play with the classmates.
And the kid's accepted, and they play,
and everything's
happy
okay,
ending.
And this is fun. And that one 23-minute video would break all these kids out of their shell, and they would go and play in class. And
even though the teacher would be like, Jimmy, go play with Robert and Susie.
Don't you want to go play? Because there's the peer-to-peer thing.
Right.
Right, so why are we talking about here? Content, right? Like, you want to show somebody that's in your audience, that could be in your audience, like purchasing your product, right?
Yeah.
Or enjoying you live.
Right.
Or the power of that image is more powerful than you saying, on sale now at iTunes. Like, it's awesome. Check it out. Exactly. And
it's more powerful to show other people checking it out at this grocery, at the line, at the checkout line. Yeah.
Like fear, like what do you call it? Like irrational fears. And maybe it's not irrational, but there's a lot of little kids that have a fear of dogs. And not from a trauma. Now, some kids got a fear of dogs because they got bit or attacked by a dog. This is not trauma oriented. They just have a fear of dogs and their parents want to, you know, get them to like dogs. Same thing. You show them videos of kids playing with dogs. And then all of a sudden the kids start to realize, oh, this is fun. This is cool. And then they'll go in and play with the dog, right, when they're little. So, and it's a peer-to-peer thing. It's not an adult telling them to do this.
Or an adult playing with a dog.
Or an adult playing with a dog. That's
right. It's like kids like us play with dogs like these.
See how that works, man? So, We did a Jacob Cade, one of my artists, rock artists. He's in the top 40 now on Billboard's indicator chart for awesome. Rock. That means he's getting spun, y'all, and it's real. He's out there. We're trying to get as many tour dates as we can. Well, he got the opportunity to do a one-off in Scottsdale, Arizona, opening up for Dokken, which is a big 80s band. And he was not direct support. There's three bands on the bill. He was the first band. Mm-hmm. So he was going on at 8 p.m.
He's opening for the opener.
Hardly anybody's going to be there, right, at that thing. So the other thing is, we're not getting spun in Scottsdale. It's not a market.
It's not his hometown.
That we're in. He's from Colorado. That's right. He's from Denver, Colorado. It's not his hometown. So nobody knows who Jacob Cade is in Scottsdale, Arizona. Mm-hmm. And I went back to the investors and I said, hey, I want to try something here. Can we, you know, we give me a budget on Facebook of like mm-hmm. $200. And they're like, oh, yeah, do it. Mm-hmm. So I put together a video. Now, we had some compelling images. First of all, this kid on stage on a scale of 1 to 10, kid's guitar playing is at like a 15. On a scale of 1 to 10, the kid's performance, like live performance skills, are at a 15. Mm-hmm. Like, he's off the charts. So much energy. Like, it's insane mm-hmm. how amazing. Like, he just will blow your mind. Like, yeah. Okay? And
that's
so
good.
And so the formula, again, get the art and the artist in front of new eyeballs mm-hmm. and let him do his thing, right? Well, we just wanted to get as many eyeballs out there as we could.
Right.
So we put together a video, a one-minute video, of him playing live, like all these different clips of him playing live. And we had a couple shows where we got clips from, and the video clips were his mom from the side of the stage shooting video of him. Mm-hmm. And one of the shows, I flew up to Denver and was just there watching the show and up from mm-hmm. the audience, and I was taking it from the front looking in, and it was a big opener for Steel Panther, so there's like 3,600 people there, but these people were freaking out on him. Another show, we were getting a lot of spins in Spokane, Washington, and he went there and did another opening show, but everybody, they packed the house because they knew who he was too. Mm-hmm. And they're all like clapping, and so the video opens up and he's like clapping along to a packed house full of people clapping along with him, mm-hmm. and his track's playing underneath of it, and the whole messaging was, hey, Scottsdale, you know, get there early. don't miss this kind of a thing. Mm-hmm. And I'll put the video up. I haven't done it yet, but I'll put it up in the climb community. But long story short, I get a text. This just was last Saturday from today when we're recording this podcast. It was April 14th was the date. And like 400 people showed up to see him.
Nobody knew him.
But you know what? We super targeted the within a 50-mile radius of the club mm-hmm. and the audiences that would be going to see Dokken.
Right.
And we put that video out there and spent money getting it out there. I mean, the numbers were astounding. It totally worked. The bar owner flipped out because he was like, mm-hmm. I can't believe you had that many people show up for you the beginning. You're from out of town.
Again?
Yeah, what's your name? Yeah, exactly. Yeah. What's your name? Like, oh my God. Like, and we got a repeat gig. Mm-hmm. For him coming back in August. So
Now he has 400 people knows who he is.
Yeah, we can hit again.
We can build on that.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So this is where, you know, this is where we're implementing this kind of social proof. This is so powerful that we're implementing the social proof in getting people to change their mind, to mm-hmm. like something, right? And online we know it's not about the music first, but the artist first. So
right.
It's congruent with everything that we're doing. That's the way you want to get it done. So, anyway, before we wrap it up here, if this kind of marketing could help you grow your audience,
as it's helping many other artists,
yeah, as it's helping every other freaking artist that we work with, right. and you'd like it to help you, reach out to us at info@daredevilproduction.com. We're available for consultation. If you know, maybe you can't afford the service of the company, like on our retainer kind of a thing, that might be a little bit out of your budget, but there's no reason why you can't get some good direction that's one-on-one, that's specific and customized to your brand mm-hmm. on how you can get out there and make this kind of stuff happen. And we do make little deals on the side with artists that aren't necessarily Daredevil artists, where we can help you do a specific, maybe a single release, an EP release, where we can help you sort of market that and cook up some different ideas on how to provide and bring like one of these big influencers of social behavior into your messaging and then knowing where to spend the money and how to get it in front of the right people. So again, it's info@daredevilproduction.com. Production is single. There is no S. Put consultation in the subject line and we'll make that happen. But that brings us to the end of another killer episode of The Climb. This podcast exists because we want you to win, guys, so keep on climbing.
And we'll see you at the top.